ויחן שם יסבר רגד הר אוהב כולנו כולנו כאחד. It was 3,332 years ago. The pasuk brings Bachodesh Hashlishi Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'aretz Mitzrayim Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. We came on this very day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, to Midbar Sinai. We had left Rephidim, Vayavoy Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu B'Midbar, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. Rashi tells us, Klal Yisrael stood together by the Har, Ish Echad, Belev Echad, Klal Yisrael together with the pure and singular desire to be Mekabel the Torah. And today, 3,332 years later, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, we're doing the same thing. We've come together, Klal Yisrael, in this most wonderful achdus of all of Klal Yisrael to be mekabel the Torah again. Vayichan Sham, Neged Ahar, together. And the emes is, the Or HaChaim, he says something so beautiful. That's so important for us to hear on this Rosh Chodesh. The pasuk seems to be a little bit interesting. B'chodesh Hashlishi letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. B'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai. It says that Klal Yisrael have come to midbar Sinai. Then it says the Seder Advarim v'yisum refidim v'yavoyim midbar Sinai. Very interesting. First, the pasuk tells us in pasuk Aleph that Klal Yisrael Bo Midbar Sinai. They've come to Midbar Sinai. Then in Pasuk Beis, it tells us where they came from. Vayisum refidim, vayavo Midbar Sinai. The Or HaChaim asked the kasha, the Chayrut should have said the opposite. It should have told us where Klal Yisrael had come from. They came from refidim, and then they got to Midbar Sinai. But the Pasuk says like this. It says, they came to Midbar Sinai. Next Pasuk, they left refidim, they got to Midbar Sinai. First of all, it sounds a bit redundant. Second of all, it seems to be out of order. It says the Or HaChaim, listen to the words of the beautiful Or HaChaim. Such words of beauty that Or HaChaim says. He says, "Hinei l'mashen neida oitzim chibasai yisparach b'Yisrael." HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael so much. Kivyochol as if to say, because that's the day laseit lahem arusa sam zayis ha'tayra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting to give the engaged one, the Klal Yisrael, the Tayra. So, as if to say, I give a mashal to explain this. Sometimes the grandchildren, let's say in Eretz Yisrael or other places, they're waiting for the grandparents to come. And they're waiting by the window. I imagine now in the situation that we're in, the excitement that will be when the grandchildren get to see the grandparents again. They're waiting by the window. And they know that that morning the grandparents are going to be coming to see the grandchildren. I'm sure they have other intentions. Maybe they'll come with gifts. Who knows? But the grandchildren sit by the window and they wait. And finally, the grandchildren see their grandparents, and it's an incredible simcha. The next day, they come in, they're going to tell their friends, they tell in school, and they tell their teacher, they're here. They start out, they're here. And then they go and they tell the story behind it. They're here. And then after, they say, yeah, what does it mean they're here? It means they came all the way from this place, from that place, and it took an hour until they got here, etc. But because of the ava, and because of the extreme simcha to be together, they right away break into, they're here. And as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been waiting, says the Or HaChaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been waiting for this day since Bria Sa'olam, and obviously way before Bria Sa'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for the day that Klal Yisrael are going to accept the Torah. And Mimela, the second Kivyachol that they got to Midbar Sinai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're here. The first excitement, Klal Yisrael are here. Like we are today, 3,332 years later, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is saying the same thing. They're here. They're all here, waiting to accept the Torah. And then the pasuk says, the Seder Advarim, they came from here, they came from there. This has to give us a little bit of excitement. Excitement for the Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Is they're here, Klal Yisrael are here, Ish Echad, Belev Echad. And of course, we together today are Mamish Ish Echad, Belev Echad. I'd like to first tell you a story. It might sound at first like it's not exactly maybe relevant to our topic. We'll see maybe afterward if we could connect it. But it's something that it means a lot to me. I had an interesting story that occurred to me last night, and I wanted to share it with you. I was driving home. It was about 12 o'clock at night. was on Maitzei Shabbos. Was driving home. In the street, there was a car in front of me, and the car came to a crashing halt, like stopped short, basically. And I obviously stopped short behind that car. I didn't get damaged, Baruch Hashem. But then I noticed that it was bedlam in front and the car in front of me. And it seems that the car in front of me hit a child. And everyone quickly wanted to see what exactly had taken place. I jumped out of the car and you look and you see that there was a child that had been hit by a car. Quite a shocking experience. Le'aleinu, le'aleichem. And the child, why was there a 9-year-old boy walking around 12 o'clock at night in the middle of the street? No, that's a question. But Lemaitse, he got hit by the car, and Baruch Hashem, he seemed to jump right up. The car in front of me, the driver obviously was very shocked, and he looked very quickly just to make sure that the boy was okay. And it seems that the boy was okay. So the driver, who was quite understandably, but quite shocked, he basically got into his car and he drove off. Lemaitse, I saw that it was something that really is not so responsible. So I told the boy to come into the car with me and I'll drive him home. I didn't know who this boy was, but it was in the neighborhood. And I figured the boy that got hit by a car, his parents have to know, first of all, that he went down and it could be dangerous and whatever. So Lemaitse, I took the child and I brought him into the car. And so I talked to him for a minute. He told me where he lives and what's his name. And I started to talk to the child a little bit. And I noticed that the child is not responding to me as I'm driving. I realized he's not answering me. So sometimes you have a kid, he doesn't want to respond to you. And again, I spoke a little bit more and I see he's not responding to me. I turn to the side and I look over and I see that over there, there's a little bit of blood trickling out of his ear. And it seems to be that he's had a concussion. And so I quickly turned the car around, a U-turn, and I started speeding toward the hospital. From where I live to Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, it usually takes about 20 minutes. I suppose if there's traffic, it could take 40 minutes. Baruch Hashem, it was 12 o'clock at night, and Baruch Hashem, I was speeding, and I got to the hospital in 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I made it to the hospital with the one tachlis, the one goal is to save this child's life, the child that Nebuch, obviously it was a concussion, and obviously it was something that could be extremely serious. And Lemaisa, when I arrived at the hospital, so you have to go through the gate, and I saw that it was taking time for a minute, and I saw that time was of the essence. So I, on my own, started to administer some of the little bit of knowledge that I have in medicine. I once took a first aid course. Years ago, there was a first aid course that was given, so I took the course, and I started to do CPR to the child right there at the gate, and I screamed at the shomer, the person by the gate, to quickly just bring people in the yard, bring paramedics, bring people that can come and help us. And in the meantime, he ran to do his, and I was doing mine right there in the car. I was doing on this child CPR and mouth to mouth, and with the one goal to save this Yiddish life, to save this life. And Baruch Hashem, they came about 2 minutes later. Those 2 minutes seemed like 2 hours or maybe even more, but it seems to be that we got a little bit of life back in the child, and they quickly grabbed him, and they did what they had to do. I went to call the parents and to tell them what's going on. As a matter of fact, the parents, they taka, didn't have a car. So I went to pick them up and then I brought them to the hospital. And it was about one o'clock at night already, maybe even 1:15. And I left them in the hospital. It seemed by the point that I had left that the child, Baruch Hashem, was going to be okay and that he was going to live. This morning, when I opened my door, I saw that by the door, by the door there was like a little kugel. And it was a letter on it, and it was a thank you letter, and it said that Hatzelus Nefashis, you were Matzel Nefesh Echaz Miyisrael. It says in it, Matzel Nefesh Echaz Miyisrael, call it Matzel Nefesh Echaz Miyisrael, a person that saves life. It's like you saved the whole world. This child is not just this one specific child. He's going to have children and grandchildren, and it seems to be that Baruch Hashem, he saved a life. And I thought that, for sure, those that are listening to me would have the same simcha that I'm having, the simcha to have saved a life. And Bez Hashem, such Tiyata Dishmaya, hopefully with that Tiyata Dishmaya, so some of the words that come out of my lave will be Zeicha now to go into your lave. I must tell you that everyone should sit down. I hope that you're sitting down right now. Every word that I just said is sheker. It's a lie. Every single word from the beginning till the end. It was 12 o'clock at night last night that I was in my car. That part's true. And I was driving home and I came home. And no child got hit by a car. and there was no trickle of blood that came out of his ear. And I never took a CPR course. I'll tell you another thing, probably that when you start beating on the chest of a child that had a concussion, you're probably going to kill him. The last thing in the world to do is probably to start beating on his chest. I don't know if I could make it to the hospital in Shari Tzedek in 4 minutes or less. I don't know. But Akapanim, every part of the story is not true. But I'd like to tell you why I told you that story. Because I want to tell you what I did do last night at 12 o'clock at night. At 12 o'clock at night, I was driving home. And that day, I have a certain schedule of learning that I learned, certain amounts of Gemara that I do. And that day, for the various reasons and the various responsibilities in the house, I wasn't able to come to the regular amount of my schedule. It was 12 o'clock at night, and I decided that I was very, very tired, and I just wanted to go to sleep. But then I understood that my responsibility of learning Torah, that's a priority. And I sat and learned for the next hour and 20 minutes, and it was difficult for me. But I sat and learned, and I did what I consider to be the right thing, which for sure is the right thing, to learn Torah, even in a situation where it was difficult. I want to tell you, when you heard that story, that I saved the child's life, I have no suffix. I have no question. You were extremely impressed, and rightfully so. Because to save a life is something which is extremely impressive. And I have no doubt that everybody was impressed. And you thought to yourself, Taka, the person that's about to speak to us, he had the siyata d'shmaya to save a life? It's unbelievable. Imagine that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him the siyata d'shmaya to save a life. He's an impressive person. If he's an impressive person, then the words that are going to come out of him, it's kedai to listen to. He's impressive. And you're right to be impressed, because saving a life, atzolus nefashis, is something incredible. There's no question. But there's one thing in the world that is more impressive. And I'm not saying that you should, let's say, learn Torah and not save a life. If a person has to save a life, there's no question. He has to close the Gemara and go and save the life. If somebody, Chas v'Shalom, has a problem, went into the basic medrash and somebody goes down, Avada, he has to close the Gemara. And we know that when it comes to learning, learning is batal to all mitzvahs. We know that a person is supposed to learn almanas to be mekayim the mitzvahs. And there's no question in the world, davening comes when it's time to daven, no learning. And when it comes time even to eat, it's not time for learning, go. Maybe you can say it's about tired during the meal. But we know another thing is that it's true that if you have to save a life, you should save a life. But what is more impressive? Says the Gemara in Megillah, on Daf Zayin. The Gemara says, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoser Metzalis Nefashis. There's one thing which is more impressive even than saving a life. And you should know, I did not come today to take away the sensitivity of those that save lives. The importance and the value of those that save lives, especially in these days. Avada, that's something of the utmost value. But there's something more impressive. And if you are not more impressed by this, then you have to change your attitude. Because the Gemara says there's something more impressive. Gadol Talmud Torah is more impressive, more than Hatzolus Nefashis, more than saving a life. The Gemara brings a raya from Mordechai, that Mordechai was Isaac in saving lives, in saving Klal Yisrael. V'afal Pikein, we understand that with all that, then Mordechai saved all Klal Yisrael. But he went down a level, because what's more impressive? So if you were impressed by the fact that I saved a life, there has to be something that impresses you more, is that I learned that Daf Gemara. And don't look at me, look at yourselves that are learning Torah right now. There's no question that that is the most impressive endeavor in this world. And we have to realize that. And we have to appreciate Torah. And we have to love Torah. We must love Torah. Many of us, sometimes we look at Torah, and it seems there's different attitudes when it comes to Limud HaTorah. Some people have an attitude of Limud HaTorah. And Limud HaTorah is, some people learn and some people don't learn. And it's okay if you don't learn. I must admit, I'm not coming to talk about that today, but that's really for sure the wrong attitude. The Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Reish Mem Vav, I'll read you the words in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Yoredei Reish Mem Vav. This is not a Musar Sefer. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Kol Ish Yisrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is Chayiv in learning Torah. Bein Ani, Bein Asher, Bein Shalom Begufa, whether he's wealthy, whether he has no money, and he's working all day, and he's trying very hard, whether he's so wealthy, and he says, look, I support yeshivas. Bein Shalom Begufa, person that's healthy, he says, look, you know, me, I'm so busy. Maybe he's a Bal Yisurin, I'm a sick person. How could I? A Bacher, a Zakin Gadol, an older person. And the end of this in the glorious list, Afila Bal Yishuvanim, even a married man. You know the difficulties, responsibilities of a married man. Chayiv Likvaya Zman of Talmud Torah Bayomer Balayla. I want to tell you, there's no Shulchan Aruch in all 1,705 Simanim of the Shulchan Aruch that says that you're chayiv to put tefillin on every day. Now, no one should take away the sensitivity, and of course, you should put your tefillin on every day, except for Shabbos. But there's no question that it doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch that you must put tefillin on every day. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, it says you must learn Torah every day and every night. So I'm not even coming to talk about that. That if a person thinks out there, well, there's some people that learn, there's some people that don't learn. I'm a person that's a shomer Torah mitzvahs, but I don't learn Torah. You know, I'll come to the shir every once in a while. That's a wrong attitude. The Shulchan Aruch says you chayiv. But we have to talk about something which is much more than just to cheapen it by saying the chayiv of Talmud Torah, the responsibility of Talmud Torah. There has to be a love for Torah. When a person has a love for Torah, so then it'll have a different connection to Torah. The root of the word ahava is yoev, is to give. The more the person gives of himself to Torah, then the more connection he'll have to Torah. Because he'll have given to Torah, he'll give of himself to Torah. And like we mentioned before, this has to impress us the most. If you were impressed that I saved life, so the impressiveness of learning for an hour has to impress you much more. There's no question, you have to close the Gemara if you have to save a life. But impressed, and what does Klal Yisrael love? And what is it that we come together? Ki ish echad, b'lev echad. What is it that's b'ish echad, b'lev echad? Dafka, what's the glue that glues the nation of Klal Yisrael together? That's the Torah. So said Rav Sajigai. And let's understand this a little bit. Because sometimes the Torah is so great and so vast, and a person thinks to himself, what's the difference? My little chelik in Torah, am I anyways going to know as much as the great tzaddikim, Rechaim Kanievsky, and those great tzaddikim? What's the difference? What's the mega difference? My chelik of Torah. And we look at Torah, and Torah is so vast, and it's so large, and you look at the svarim behind me on the shelf, there's so many svarim, so much to learn out there. We get weak from the thought of so much Torah. How can I connect myself to such a Torah? A Torah which is so large. It's interesting. Somebody recently was telling me that there's a person in America, it's a very, very wealthy person. His name is, it slips my mind, his name, Fences, wasn't it? Gates. And this Gates fellow apparently has billions and billions of dollars. And somebody there was telling me how many billions of dollars this person has. And I started to tell him, let me explain to you. Michaelis, this person has such and such billions of dollars. I told him, by me, it's like, it's the money's so big, it doesn't work. Once you get past a certain, like, a couple hundred thousand already, it's all equal to me. He says, let me explain to you. He said, what's your salary? How much do you make a year? I told him. He took out a calculator, started to do the math. He said that I would have to work for 17 million years every single day and never spend any money. And then if you take all of that money together, after 17 million years, you would have the money that this fellow Gates has. 17 million years. It's mind-boggling. 17 million years a regular person lives. Halavai. Halavai, 90, 100 years. Halavai, halavai. And 17 million years. So when you think about numbers that big, you're so removed. You're so removed from that amount. How do you connect yourself to such an amount? Is there any way that I can make that kind of money? It's not connected. It's no shaykhiz. It's so beyond. There's one way, Rabbi Yisai, there's one way that you can connect yourself to all of that money and you'll never lift it a finger. You didn't work now for 17 million years, now for 17 days. And you can connect yourself to all that money. You know what it is? You marry his daughter and you treat her well. You marry his daughter and you treat her well and then you're Yerush everything. That, my Rabbi, is how a person connects himself to a Torah which is so vast and so large. If you love Torah and you treat it well, so then you are connected to that enormous, incredible, incredible oisher, an incredible value of not billions, of worlds and worlds which you're connected to. When you have a love for Torah, a love for Torah means that a person has to start to give to the Torah. Sometimes a person learns Gemara, doesn't understand what it's saying. What does he do? Gemara is very difficult. It's not easy to learn halacha, to learn Gemara. It's not easy also to sit down even to watch a shiur sometimes. There's lots of distractions. There's lots of other things going on. Sometimes it's hard to understand the Torah. What does a person do when he wants to understand the Torah and it's difficult? There's a story with the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach had Talmidim. He didn't have a whole yeshiva, but he had little Talmidim, a few Talmidim that would come to his house and they would learn with him. They were sent from other Rosh Yeshivas. And they would stay to his house. One of them was writing over the memoirs of what it was to learn by the Or Sameach. And he writes something incredible. He says one day they were working on a taisvis and it just wasn't going. They weren't getting pshat in this taisvis. One day went by, another day went by, and there was a meach who was a brilliant person and a talmud chacham atzim, tzaddik atzim, and they weren't coming to the pshat in the taisvis. One day, the third day, let's say, he gets up and he tells the bachrim, listen, we're not getting pshat in this taisvis, so let's daven that we should have a hava of Torah. We should have love of Torah. And if we love Torah, so then, Bez Hashem, we'll see what. So they davened for Avos HaTorah. They davened and davened for a few minutes, half an hour. They davened for Avos HaTorah. After they davened for Avos HaTorah, all of a sudden the Orsameach told them a whole pilpul, an entire pshat in this Taisvis, which answers up a Taisvis elsewhere, and answered up a Rambam, he writes over there in the memoirs. Unbelievable. They asked the Orsameach, what is this? This is some type of it's like a school, like a thing. The Orsameach was a Litvish Yid. And here he is, the Orsameach, and he's, it's like very uncharacteristic, davening for Avos of Torah. They wondered, did really the Orsameach know the pshat beforehand? The Orsameach told them, it is pashit. If I say, you have a little baby, a brand new baby, you know, the mommy bear, she leaves the tati bear with the baby. She tells the husband, watch the baby, I'm going out for a bit. Baby starts crying. Tati bear doesn't know what to do. He starts taking the little baby bear and he's, you know, shaking upside down. Doesn't know, takes it by the leg. Doesn't know what to do over here. The mother comes in. She looks the baby, the husband upside down and this and that. So the husband doesn't know what to do. The baby's crying. The mother says, oh, she takes the baby. She does what she has to do. She gives it a kiss. And that's, what's the difference? How come the mother, she didn't have any problems? The father, he doesn't know what to do with the baby. The answer is very simple. The mother, she nurtures the baby. She was the house, the baby. She was the roommate for 9 months with the baby. And she has a certain love because she gave so much to the baby. When you love something, you know what it's trying to tell you. The father has less love. It comes eventually. Don't worry, I always say. But the father doesn't have that same level of love. When you love something, you'll know what it's coming to tell you. The Orsameach told this Talmidim. When we daven for a hava of Torah, for love of Torah, then you'll understand what it's trying to tell you. And that's what we have to work on. Love for Torah. We have to work on this. Love for Torah. I must tell you, we just learned last week, Parshas Bechukosai. In Parshas Bechukosai, it talks about all the brachas come to those that learn Torah, and the klalos, either the ones that aren't learning Torah. And there's an obvious question that everybody has when he learns this, is that we see that a lot of people that they learn Torah and to live a Torah life, it's better, especially a person that spends more and more time in Torah learning. So inevitably, he's not the one that usually has those millions and billions of dollars. It's usually not exactly like that. And we see the ones that sometimes are the ones that are not learning Torah. They're the ones that do have it. Something very hard to understand. And void, it's probably for most of us, a lot of us think to ourselves, you know, wow, wouldn't it be nice to be taka a billionaire? Why do I think it's nice to be a billionaire? I don't mean so you could drive some fancy car like a Honda or something. I mean, it would be nice to be a billionaire because be able to imagine somebody knocks on your door, a person who's making like, you know, a chazan is collecting some such and such amount of money. He says he needs this amount of money. And you go to you tell him 1 minute. You go to the back room, you write out a check. He thinks you're writing out a check, maybe $20, $50. Right? You come back, it says on it $100,000. Keep the change. You look through the people as he faints. It would be beautiful to help out other Jews. Wouldn't it be nice? And we know sometimes it's not like that. The people that are learning Torah, they're not the ones that are necessarily billionaires. Listen to the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin. He explains so beautifully. He explains that really there is nothing in this world, like it says in Parshas Bechukosai, that doesn't come down. No blade of grass can grow without a plot of Gemara, without learning Torah, without the value of Torah that goes up to Shemayim and comes down in the form of bracha and shefa to the whole entire world. All the health, all the wealth, all the bracha, all the shefa comes down from Torah. Torah is the only way to get bracha in this world. We see that not everybody specifically is the ones learning Torah, the ones that have that wealth. So he brings the most phenomenal Gemara. And Gemara brings the famous Gemara, the Chanina ben Taisa. You know that he was sufficed with a very small amount every week. Maybe it was a carob from week to week. And it says over there that his wife at one point had enough. She couldn't handle it anymore. Mrs. Chanina. So she told him, Shemayim, I can't handle it anymore. They took out a gold leg and handed it her from Shemayim. She asked, what's this? They showed her in Shemayim. There's a three-legged table. And this is one of the legs of the table. She takes it now, then she doesn't get it in Shemayim. She could choose, and she gave it back. Reb Chaim Volozhin explains to us what was the dialogue. They explained to her that your husband in Shema, which is her, you, your husband, that's, of course, that's one neshama. Your husband, in Shemayim, he has the three-legged table. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasad. In Shemayim, he has Avodah, the davening of Rechanina, but the Gemara says he was able to tell when a person, based on his tefillah, was going to live or not live. His Avodah was incredible. He had not just Avodah, he had Torah. He was Chanina ben Toisa, the great Tana. Obviously, an incredible level of Torah. What about Gemilas Chasadim? So Mrs. Chanina was told that the way it works in Shemayim is all that your husband learns, it goes up to Shemayim and it gets cashed in for Bracha and Shefa. And it's supposed to be channeled and coming down straight to him. But Kivyachol, the Rebbeinu Shalom, Kivyachol has this great big problem. What's his problem? The problem is he has to be mefarnes the whole world. There's a blade of grass somewhere in India that needs to be grown. And nothing comes down to this world without Torah. So what does Rebbeinu Shalom do? He takes that, Rebbeinu Shalom takes that channeled Torah, and he takes the bracha, instead of channeling it down to you, so he goes and he spreads it to the whole entire world. As if to say that your husband has the chesed of supporting the whole world. So this Torah, this Avodah, and until now, he had Gemilas Chasadim. With his Torah, he supports the whole entire world. And now, if you want it, the family can have it, but you won't have that same level of chesed, where you support the entire world. So she said, give it back. And he explains, the Gemara says, that the whole world is nizayin, bishvil Chanina ben Daisa. What does it mean, bishvil? Kepshuta, it means for Chanina ben Daisa. He explains, it's not pshat. The whole world is nizayin in the shvil, in the path of Chanina ben Daisa, the whole entire world is nizayin. And with this, he enlightens us. That's what's going on here. You see sometimes the people that they learn Torah, and it doesn't look like they're the big billionaires. It says, no, it doesn't work like that. Be'emes, it's all supposed to be coming to them. But Hashem goes and he takes all that's coming to them, they're billionaires, and he spreads it out to the rest of the world. And that's how it works. So they have taka, all that bracha coming down. But they're going to be all the chesed that they do. Just to know what this means, Rabbi Yisai, this means the next time you walk down the street, someone tells you, see that guy over there? He's the wealthiest man in New York. You say, wow, really? It looks like a regular guy. Yeah. And he gives 25% of his money to tzedakah. Wow, imagine such a person, more than Chaimish. Unbelievable, wow, unbelievable. Walking down the street, someone says, you see that person there? He's the wealthiest man in the Middle East. Really? Whew, doesn't look like it, looks like a regular guy. See? And he gets 50% of his money to tzedakah. Wow, the wealthiest man, imagine such a person to be in the presence. Then you're walking down one day, show you a person. That man, he's the wealthiest man in the world. It doesn't look like it. Looks like a regular person. It's a regular guy. And he gives all of his money to tzedakah. He'd probably faint on the spot for being the kedusha of such a person. So much kedusha. So much. Rabbi Yisai, if you learn Torah, you're that billionaire. You're that billionaire. And not only a billionaire, you hold that money and you give it all to tzedakah. And with that, you mefarnes the whole entire world. A woman wakes up in the morning and she knows her husband learns Torah. He's going to go when it's difficult to go tonight. Sometimes he comes home from hard days of work and he has to go at night, and it's hard for her too. She wants to see her husband and she wants to spend time. Sometimes difficult, but you have to give her the Torah. And when that happens, so then when she wakes up in the morning, she goes to tell her husband, you know what I saw in the mirror this morning? I saw the billionaire's wife. Billions, but we give it all to tzedakah. So what impresses us the most? Torah HaKadosha impresses us the most. This is true. God, there's no question. There's nothing greater than Atzelus Nefashis, in as much as Yematzel Nefeshechas, Yematzel whole world, but Godel Talmud Torah even more than Atzelus Nefashis. That's what impresses us the most, is Talmud Torah. That's what we have a chiv to do. That's what we have to love Torah. And when we love Torah, we'll know what it's trying to tell us. And even if Torah is so vast, but when we love it, so when you love it and you treat it well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it all to you. And when he gives it all to you, and you have Torah, so then that which you create, the Torah, which goes up, which creates bracha and shefa to the whole world, you're the one that's being mefarnes the whole entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see our tzaynus ha'tayv as we go into this Shavuos, 3,332 years later, ish echad, b'lev echad, k'neged ahar, and Bezer Hashem will be zeichet to a year of Torah, Yeshua, and with that, with this Kabbalah, it'll bring the Mashiach tzidkenu b'mheira b'yameinu, amen. Oy, oy, me lay back on, by Hashem Yisrael.